I'd like to start out by saying that there are no data at all to support the structure that you showed for humic acid. As a matter of fact,
that's the whole problem with the internet.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I've been working for a long time on humic materials, and I finally come to the conclusion that it's really a bad term, and that we should simply talk about soil organic matter. There really is no way in the world that you can separate out a humic substance in any meaningful way that's something that has been synthesized in the soil or has formed in the soil. So let me run through mine very rapidly. I have quite a bit of information, and I'll just be able to skim through it, I think. So let's see, we do. Yeah. So in the past, it's been assumed that humic materials form polymeric that humic materials are polymeric species, and that these humic polymers can be separated into humic acid and fulvic acid in human using a precipitation technique in which the humic acid is soluble in base, insoluble in acid, the fulvic acid soluble in both, and the human is not soluble in either. So people have attempted to say that that there are basic building blocks. Some people have felt that there are some sort of basic building blocks, but they've never been able to define what these basic building blocks are. And then some people say that there are no two humic molecules that are the same. I don't think either one of these statements really conveys anything that we can use. So in summary, as far as these secondary reactions that form humic materials, I think it's really quite impossible to separate the so-called second, if there are secondary reaction products, from partially degraded or undegraded plant material. And there is really no real evidence to tell us that what these secondary reactions are or if they take place. So what I'd like to do in the soil is go back to some basic principles and first talk about, what is a soil, and it essentially is it's a heterogeneous mixture of phases, and that these phases are made up of components. Now, whether we can do anything as far as dealing with the tannins or with other organic materials and get to the point where we can actually identify components, I'm not telling you that we can. But right now, what we should do is at least start to look at this thing in a more detailed way, what happens in a soil. So in a soil, you have the inorganic phases and the organic material. The organic material, we really cannot separate at this time into phases. The inorganics, of course, we can. So what I would like to propose is that when we study soils, that we study soil compartments. That is, that we try to break the soil down into as many different fractions as we can without really altering the soil. And that means then that we do some heavy liquid separations, that we attempt to do some separations to separate out the clay-like material, the clay material from the clay-sized material from the others, that we separate out the dissolve phase, which is in the soil pore water, that we try to separate out the pyrogenic carbon, look at the biomass and the organic coatings on mineral grains, and so on. As far as dealing with the components in the inorganic field, we can certainly deal with stoichiometric and non-stoichiometric phases. You know, we have isomorphous substitution in clays, things of that nature. We can do something there. In the organics, really, All we can do is we can say we have undegraded biomass, partially degraded biomass, and some material that has undergone secondary reactions. So the partially degraded plant biomass would be the twigs, the senescent leaves, the root material, the dead root fragments that are in the soil. All of these, when you do a gross extraction of the soil with sodium hydroxide, all of these things are going to be extracted, and you're going to get something out of all of them. And I would like to point out that a number of years ago we did some study on leaves in which we were just went to a botanical garden and collected leaves at different times during the year, and we did extractions on the leaves, just the leaves themselves, that we picked up senescent leaves from the ground, and we were able to extract from these leaves material that would fit into the humic acid definition, the fulvic acid definition, and whatever was left that wasn't extractable, you could say would be, then be the human. So I mean, I don't know what the you know, what you can learn from just doing these gross extractions and really try to understand what's happening in the soil. So I'd like to just discuss some of the degradation reactions. You can get enzymatically mediated degradation reactions, pyrolytic reactions, and then some abiotic reactions. And I'll just run through some examples here. I mean, in a general way, you have the primary metabolites and secondary metabolites. The primary ones are the compounds that are found in all plants, and then you have the secondary ones like the tannins. The secondary metabolites are structurally diverse, and accumulate in certain plant tissue, and in other plant tissue you don't have them at all. And they have limited taxonomic distribution. And primary metabolites are found in all soil organic matter, and then the secondary metabolites will be found depending on what the source is of the organic material that's in the soil. So if you're in a forest soil, you'll have a lot more tannins than you will in, say, a prairie soil or something of that nature. And the degradation of the primary metabolites takes place either by endogenous enzymes or exogenous enzymes, the exogenous enzymes being exuded by various fungi or bacteria that degrade the particular primary compound in the plant. And so here I've put down some of the characteristics, enzymes secreted by endogenous and exogenous are general materials are generally very similar, and they catalyze things like hydrolytic depolymerization and oxidative reactions. Now, as far as the secondary secondary metabolites are concerned, we don't have well-defined monomeric units oftentimes produced, and the more complex chemical structures may be formed. And I'd like to as we go through this thing, point out that the tea chemists have done a great deal of work on types of compounds that are formed when tannins are degraded enzymatically. And these enzymatic reactions can take place actually on senescence in the leaves themselves without moving into the soil at all. And that really is the way tea is produced. The tea leaves are, at least in the black teas, the tea leaves are fermented, they're crushed, first and then fermented, the crushing breaks the cell walls down, and then all of the enzymes that are in the various organelles in the leaves can then act on whatever comes out of the various organelles. And I'll show you a diagram of that later on. But anyways, as far as the primary metabolites are concerned, you get you can get monosaccharides, amino acids, lignins, fatty acids, depending on what polymer you start with. And here are some more types of reactions on the primaries. And here you get the sugar acids and so forth. We won't go into this in any detail because really it's not important at this point in our discussion. Now, as far as the tannins are concerned, those are, as Javier pointed out, these are the most abundant secondary metabolites in plant tissue. And so these are the ones that have been looked at the most. And so we'll just go through a few examples of what happens with tannins. So when I've just had a few cartoons prepared here in which you have then when the vegetation is growing, I've shown trees here, we then get collection of leaf litter on the soil at after senescence, to the time when the leaves senesce. They collect on the surface of the soil and then contribute the tannins to the soil solutions. And here I've shown a diagram, cartoon of a plant cell in which you have a number of well-defined organelles. These organelles then have various different types of compounds in the organelles depending on what their function is. And after senescence, what happens is the organelle, here I've just outlined what the are bounded by membranes, and then these membranes can then the organelle can then perform very specialized metabolic functions depending on the particular leaf. So then, anyways, we've got the senescent leaves collecting on the surface. And here I've shown you, I would like to show you that when senescence takes place, then the membranes separating the various organelles degrade, and there's mixing of the fluids that are inside the organelles. And so then at this time, you can get a variety of different reactions that will especially affect the polyphenols if there are some oxidative enzymes or if there are free radical type of reactions that can take place, then they will take place right in the leaves themselves. And here I've just another diagram showing what happens when when you have the breakdown of the plant, of the organelle membranes. Okay, so what happens after senescence to the tannins? You get depolymerization brought about by fungal tannases. You have free radical depolymerization, and you have oxidative coupling reactions. And all of these reactions then will alter the tannins so that when the tannin ultimately finds its way down into the soil, it's going to be quite different from what it was when it started out in the leaf itself. So I think what you really have to be concerned about in trying to understand what happens in the soil is, first of all, what are the compounds that are going to get down into the soil from the leaf degradation. This takes place after senescence. Then you're going to have compounds similar to the types of compounds that are in tea. You're not really going to have the pure tannins that existed in the leaf at the time it was growing. And so when you have the senescent leaves accumulating on the surface, then they will be leached by the by water carried down into the soil column. And you'll get some truly dissolved material, and you'll get some colloidal organic material. And this will then be carried down into the soil column, where it can then react with the various minerals in the soil and with the organic material that are coating the mineral surfaces, and with the organic materials that are that exist as simple organic phases in the soil. And first of all, if we talk about the organic coatings on mineral grains, coatings on hydrous metal oxide surfaces, and organic coatings on clay mineral surfaces. I'll have to run through this pretty fast. I see Javier has stood up already. So what I would like to point out is that you can get a variety of different types of reactions, pi bonding with cations. You can get electron donor acceptor types of reactions, pi bonding with hydrogen atoms on silanol groups. And then you can get hydrophobic types of interactions, which Anne discussed, and I won't be able to go into this in any more detail. But anyways, what I proposed is that in soils you have a generalized type of amphiphile that many of the organic compounds will have this type of generalized structure, and that they can form on mineral grains bilayer types of structures that would fit in with what the hydrophobic types of interactions that Anne was talking about. And then you can have your tannin interacting with this type of surface also, giving you then a variety of other types of possibilities. So in conclusion, what I'd like to say is that the best of what we should do is begin to start looking at each of the separate compartments in soils, see what types of reactions take place within each of these particular compartments, and then that way then begin to get a better idea of what's happening in soils. Thank you.
What
we do know is that in the case of the teas, you know, which have been studied widely, and we do find that you get about like theorubigins and a variety of other condensed type of compounds that are being formed. Whether these are being formed by free radical reactions or whether they're being formed by some sort of enzymatically mediated reactions, I don't know, and I don't think anyone else knows either, quite frankly. Yes?
Can you comment about the transition from solid phase soil into water, and if there's any particular important points that is moved from one phase to another?
Well, I mean, the way the tannins or their whatever products are being produced from tannins move down into the soil is that they're dissolved, and then they move down into the soils generally, unless, I mean, you're talking about material that has been incorporated into the soil by organisms, you know, worms or something like that, to carry it down into the soil. But in general, you're going to get quite a bit of leaching simply from the water, and if that will be carried down, then there'll be a partitioning of the compounds in the water between the solid soil phases and the water, and you'll get some sort of a fractionation, such a chromatography, really, if you will.
Thank you. Think about that.